Hey, this is Pastor Ellie, one of the lead pastors of Bold Church. I wanted to say thank you for joining us today. If you want to stay up to date on everything that's happening at Bold Church, want to live stream a service, or find out when our next gathering is, head over to bold.church. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, good morning. It is so good to have you guys here. Can you give yourselves a shout? Welcome to Bold Church. We've got a special Sunday for you. No, I'm not preaching, but someone else of the same gender is preaching. That's right. I love it. We love to raise up women who are called in the house of God. She is a daughter of this house. She's been here since our launch service. She is also Pastor Ethan's wife. Okay. I said she's called by God, and I got less of a clap. I mean, shout out to you, Pastor Ethan. Anyways, listen, this message has not only been prayed over and studied and wrestled with, but Sarah has actually been living this. So she's coming up here with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and an authority that only comes when you battle these things out and you win them in your life and you begin to walk them out with Jesus. Okay, so she's coming up here with a conviction of this word. And I want you right now to give her a bold welcome to Sarah Gutheil. Come up here. Yeah, look at that, standing ovation. Wow. I'm going to tell on y'all. Y'all don't set up like this for Pastor Allie. Listen, would you extend your hands? We're just going to pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this word that you have given my friend, someone that I have the honor to shepherd, but someone that toils with the word of God, someone that wrestles with your word, God, someone that is disciplined in the walk. And Lord, today we just ask for your spirit to fall down, Jesus. We want to have open hearts, open minds, and open ears. We don't just want to gain knowledge, God. We want heart transformation. Come, Jesus, reveal yourself to us, God. Bring conviction of sin. Disturb us. Give us a holy discomfort, God, for who you are, so that we can be transformed in your likeness, Jesus. Father, we thank you, and we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. You're going to do great.
Thank you, Pastor Yasmin. Let's give it up for Pastor Yasmin. That was awesome. It is such an honor to be here this morning and to share with what God has been taking me through. I'm excited. I'm pumped, Bold Church. I love you guys, so thank you. I'm ready to get started. This past month, Pastor Allie has been going through a collection of talks called Life in Rhythm, right? Not only is Jesus the truth, but he's the way. We have a way to live our life, and Jesus is our example. We've talked about work, community, Sabbath, and forgiveness, and it has been amazing so far. There is more to come, but I do have a question. Some of you who like details, you got a practical girl up here. I relate to you. My people, I have this question. How do you maintain this? What does this look like in my life as I continue in 2024 to make sure these rhythms are in my life for good? And Pastor Allie has given great illustration. He has given takeaway. And I truly believe that this topic that I'm going to share this morning will help make you practice these rhythms in your life. In fact, I believe it's the glue that makes your rhythms stick. And let me just say, before I share it, some of us receive this kind of like with a stiff arm, like, okay, yeah, sure, that could be the answer. I'll get around to it. Or it can remind you of what you don't have in your life, which I resonate with. But before you write me off, my topic today is on discipline, okay? More specifically, self-discipline. And it's really interesting. Discipline is not a new phenomenon, right? Like, this is not a new idea. But again, sometimes it is received kind of with a groan, like, oh, discipline, right, about that. And I can relate to it because I've had a weird relationship with discipline. I played sports growing up, so I naturally know what discipline is with practice and with games, right? But I took the off season very seriously, as in I didn't get off the couch until next season church. I never adopted discipline. I copied it. And then after that chapter of my life, it showed big time. Okay, in different areas of my life, college, post-college, you name it, work, sometimes friendships, the way I carried my life, I did not have discipline. I didn't know what it meant. And I knew it. I knew it because it also reflected in my relationship with God as well. I would find myself stuck almost. And I don't think that's a new feeling either for some believers, maybe some of you in this room, that you might feel stuck in something with your relationship with God. Thoughts of, God, why am I here again? Why am I having this thought again? How come I can never break this habit? How can I never walk in freedom, maybe like that person? And I've experienced that. I lived that church for years. And it wasn't until God had a spiritual transformation that took me to break this in my life. And I want to speak to that today. I want to speak to that feeling of, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do in my relationship with God. Last year, for our family, 2023 was a year of transition. Listen, Pastor Ethan's job shifted, I got a new job, I learned what it was like to be a working mom, and a lot of other life shifts took place, and it was hard. I was stretched and pushed in a way that I've never felt before. But by the grace of God, it was a year of growth. He was uprooting sin in my life that has never been touched before. He has been revealing things in me that I've been able to surrender to him. And he's still doing a good work. I have not arrived. However, I didn't just wake up and all of a sudden that happened. How did that take place? Discipline. Day after day, unrelenting, unapologetic, regardless of how I might feel in the moment type of discipline, church. And for some of you, my prayer and encouragement is that you would hear this and maybe wake up to how self-discipline can play a role in your relationship with God. The title of my sermon is Discipline is Destiny. Come on, discipline is destiny. That's right. I hear those clicks of the pen because in Bull's house, we take notes. Okay? If you don't have a pen, that's fine. I know you got a notes app, so don't even play. Church, let's pray together as we dive into this topic. Lord, this stage is yours, God. These words are yours, Lord. And I surrender this time in your house, God. May all the glory be given to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's right. My first point that I want to share with you is, what is discipline? Church, give me 30 minutes, okay? Don't write me off mentally just yet. Give me 30 minutes on explaining the what, the why, and the how. What is discipline? Why do we need to practice discipline? And how should we practice discipline? Because again, you have a practical girl up here. I'm going to go over the how. I love the how. I need to know the how. But let's start with what. What is discipline? Scripture actually goes over a lot about discipline, but I'm going to focus more on self-control, right? We've heard the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that we are not given a spirit of fear, right? But of love, power, and self-control. I'm also going to be highlighting 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, but not just yet. I want to start off with Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and whoever hates correction is stupid. Dang, like period. I think it's what, 10:30? That's your Bible, church. What I love, Pastor Craig Groeschel, he not only lives discipline as his life, but he defines it this way. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. We need to recognize that desires don't determine who you become. Discipline determines who you become. It determines what you do. And it's really important in the definition of discipline to also point out what it's not. Because I got confused about that. There is a difference between discipline and willpower. And James Clear, who's the author of just a really small book, Atomic Habits, He wrote an article on willpower and the effects of it. And this is how he defines willpower. He says, willpower is the ability to control oneself, the decisions one makes. It's the ability to delay gratification and choose long-term rewards over short-term rewards. So willpower isn't a bad thing, okay? Like some of you sitting down in your seat right now, you have stronger willpower than me. My willpower is great on Monday, and it's super tired on Friday, okay? Some of your willpower can last beyond Friday. What my point is that doesn't matter who it comes from, willpower fails. It gets tired. It gets fatigued. It doesn't matter who possesses it. And James Clear highlights this in his article with a study done in the 1960s where a Stanford professor wanted to measure this. He wanted to test willpower and delayed gratification. And it might sound familiar to you. In this study, you had a child, and before the child was a marshmallow. And the researcher told the child, do not eat the marshmallow until I come back. But if you don't, I'll give you two. So the child had two choices, right? Eat one now or two later. And you can imagine the results varied. You had children, and as soon as that researcher left, pop, in my mouth it goes. You had children that tried, right? They probably wiggled, and they're staring at it, and all they smell is marshmallows, and then they eat it. I would be that child. And then you have children who were able to wait, who were able to see the researcher come back in and have two. But again, the results of that are so impactful, but it shows willpower doesn't last. We cannot rely on our willpower in our life. And I lived this out. Man, I used to love 30-day challenges. Does anyone like a 30-day challenge? Like, just put me in a room. Whatever we got to do. Are we adding something? Are we taking away? Man, I used to love those. Your girl was locked. I wasn't going to cheat. I wasn't going to budge. Why? Because it ended. Sure, I'll give up sugar for 30 days only to have sugar on day 31. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't teach you discipline. Unfortunately, it was also in my relationship with Christ. See, I did grow up in the church. I did believe in God at an early age, but I found myself stuck in a cycle with him. I found myself in my relationship with God. There was really something that I couldn't move forward in with him. And it kind of looked something like this. Usually it started my life as good. Hey, I'm going to church. I'm receiving the word. Hallelujah, praise God to you too. Let me read my Bible. Let me pray. It was good. Nothing was rocking the boat until something happened. Now it could be small or it could be actually life-changing. But at this point with my relationship with God, I tried. I would still pray. I would still read my Bible. But simultaneously, I was enjoying the comforts of this world. I was allowing sinful things in me that I just could not handle to also take priority. And after a while of that, time with God decreases and that increases. And so that led to me feeling guilty. And that eventually leads to shame. Now, there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt says, I made a mistake. Shame says, I am the mistake. And you can get stuck in that. And I was stuck in that. And whatever it took, someone speaking into me, a sermon, coming back from a conference, it would bring me to my knees. I would surrender. And then the cycle would start over again. But see, I would wonder those questions of, God, why isn't this changing? How come these habits won't break? Why am I experiencing this again? I can't seem to get past it. And church, it wasn't until, like I said before, a spiritual transformation of the Holy Spirit took place. See, it's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation through his Holy Spirit that can break something like that. And the catalyst for all of that was actually my son, Levi. I have a 15-month-old. He is learning lots of things, like climbing on the couch. That's fun. But see, after about a couple months I had him, I had a gut check. See, I work with kids. I know probably more than most how deep the influence goes with adults and kids. And so when I had my son, I knew there was a fork in the road. I knew, God, I can't do this anymore because my environment is his environment. How I respond to things, he will watch me. The way I say something, he's gonna copy. And that was a gut check. It rocked me to my core. And you know what? A big sense of helplessness came over me. I didn't know what to do. And the answer in the past for something like that would have been my willpower. Oh, but this time I'll do my best. Oh, but this time I'll try harder. But like we've pointed out before, willpower fades. And it wasn't until my son brought me to the point of my knees where I said, God, I can't do this anymore. A change has to happen within me that is pivotal, and it has to be now, if not for the sake of me, for my son. And so what started off as a catalyst turned into something vital that I need for my relationship with God, like the oxygen mask on an airplane. Discipline is something that I have to have in my relationship with him. It builds the endurance that I am going to need in everything that I do. And it helps also those sinful desires that are going to come back again. Galatians 5:16 highlights this. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. What does that mean? We should be trusting in him all the time. The more we think about our dependence on him, the more consistent we will be in trusting in him and in walking by the Spirit. Church, my why shifted. It shifted for the better part of my relationship with God. I understood that discipline was not something I should get around to or try one day. It's everything in my relationship with God. It always points me back to him, no matter what I'm going through. And I don't know what the catalyst might be for you. Maybe you might know your catalyst already. But I would love to ask you this question. What is on the other side of your discipline? Imagine the relationship you have with Jesus, what it would look like if you applied self-discipline in it. Maybe you would unlock some gifts you don't even know you have yet. Imagine if you applied self-discipline in your relationship with God, you can change the trajectory of someone's life. That you would be ready to step into an opportunity that he has for you. Knowing what discipline is so important. Breaking that cycle I just described was not an overnight thing. It took all of last year. And when I mean all of last year, I mean 365 days, church. And it was hard. And there were a lot of moments where I didn't think I could keep going. But with discipline, it keeps one step moving forward. Amen, church? We went over the what. We know what it is. Now it's important to go over why. Why do we need self-discipline? That is my second point. Why do we need it? And I believe, especially church, where we live today, at the time we live in today, we need endurance. It's essential in our relationship with Christ. Self-discipline fuels the longevity that will be needed as we continue to grow, learn, be encouraged here on earth. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize, aka run to win. Come on. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Such a good verse. Now listen, Paul is using a metaphor to the Corinthian church. It's something that they recognize so easily, and it's an athlete. In fact, in the Corinthian church, the Corinthians were familiar with athletic contests. The Isthmian Games took place in a nearby town every 2 or 3 years. They were second only to the Olympic Games in importance. So casual, right? Like this summer I'm seeing the Olympics and then I'm going to go to the Isthmian Games. That was the regular conversation. And Paul uses this metaphor as an athlete because if you've been an athlete or maybe you are one now, you know. You know that when you practice, it's not immediate payoff. You know that you are doing something now in hopes to achieve something later. And Paul is using this to connect to our relationship with Christ. But there is a key difference. In the Christian race, we do not compete with one another for the prize. We compete with ourselves. The emphasis is not on self-discipline, it's on competition. Don't get trapped in that comparison, looking to your left or the right. It is within yourself, those things that you struggle with, where we need to apply self-discipline. Okay, and this is my favorite part, verse 20-26. Therefore, this is Paul, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike. Pause. That's intentional. That's thought out. That's knowing that, yeah, I'm going to have sinful desires that come up, so I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to attack it. It's not something on the bottom of my list at the end of my day that I idly maybe get around to. No, Paul's like, fool, I strike. I get ahead of it. I strike a bolt of my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Come on. I love that Paul is saying this. He's saying, I have to do this. This is important. This is something that we need to realize that we need in our relationship with God. Paul viewed his flesh as his enemy. He recognized the need to exercise strict self-discipline. Okay, so let me do a second pause. Okay, this is Paul, formerly known as Saul, used to kill Christians, right? Had an encounter with God. Now he's Paul. Okay, so this Paul is saying, who got beaten, who got shipwrecked, who wrote a third of your New Testament, who raised up more churches than anyone, raised up more leaders than anyone, went to prison. He's saying he needs self-discipline? Okay, so I think, church, we need to sit up to the fact that we might need self-discipline in our relationship with God. And not Paul is just an amazing example, the perfect example, Jesus. In Scripture, you see that he has self-discipline. Throughout the Gospels, it talks about it. Luke 5:16 says, yet Jesus himself frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Frequently. That's a practice. If Paul made this a priority and Jesus modeled this as a priority, church, I think we need to sit up to the fact that this is important. This is something we need to consider. And what does it look like in my life? For those of you who know me, I've given up social media for about 4 to 5 years. I've never looked back. I'm not for Instagram or Facebook. You don't want me there. But in the meantime, I have loved YouTube. I mean, it's YouTube. Like, you can Google how to change your tire to, like, cook a souffle for 7. I don't know. It could be anything. And I loved it so much that there was a slight addiction. I'll be honest up here. I was addicted. And I was finding myself putting it as a priority in my life. You know, I'm washing dishes and I'm watching YouTube. I'm grading papers and I'm watching YouTube. And then you might say to yourself, well, Sarah, that's not bad. You can have something on in the background. I agree. But then on my lunch break, I'm watching YouTube. I might have been driving in my car and YouTube's on. And I'm with my son Levi and I have this itch to bring out my phone. And then the kicker, when Levi's in bed, I haven't seen Pastor Ethan all day. Hey, honey, you want to talk? Oh, but I have 7 minutes left. So can I just... I'm going to watch it. I love you. I promise. We'll talk about it. I'm just going to watch it real quick. Real quick. It just became something toxic in my life. And I just remember watching a lifestyle influencer. And it was like a day in her life. And church, she was like washing her dishes. Like, is this the peak of 34? I'm watching someone make hundreds of thousands of dollars using Dawn soap. Like, this can't be it. But I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember looking, laughing a little bit, and going back to what I was cooking, and the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, what are you doing? You are wasting your time. And it was that moment of just, I paused, because I almost didn't want to hear it, but I did. And I was. You'd be surprised that such a small thing would cause so much disruption in my life. And because of the lack of self-discipline, I let it. And when I kept trying to like maneuver, hey, I can do it on the weekends or I could take time during the week, it never really hit home until one day I went to go re-download this app. And at this point of last year, I had been practicing discipline. I had let nothing come in between me and God, and I just paused. I knew that if I opened this up again, the disruption it would cause. And so I didn't. And church, that's what happens when you put self-discipline in your relationship with God. When you plant those seeds, it starts to grow in other areas of your life. I mean, was that my willpower? No, that wasn't my willpower that was I was able to do that. That was God alone, church. Why is discipline so important? Because we are sinners. We fall short daily, and we need Jesus, church. Excuse me, we need Jesus. Last year, I had a lot of victories and probably double failures. And it was hard. It was hard navigating all of those different things. But through it all, I did practice discipline. I'd wake up some mornings and I felt great. That's cool. Bible and scripture. Bible and prayer. Yeah, the next day, I felt good again. Okay, Bible and prayer. Now I'm going back to work. I'm feeling a little stressful. Huh, okay, I'll just continue. Bible and prayer. Now the stress is keeping me up. My left eye is twitching. That's really fun. Okay, Bible and prayer. Now I can't sleep. I worked last night because I couldn't go to bed because I am overwhelmed. Bible and prayer. Huh, now anxiety is coming into my life. God, why am I going through this? Okay, I'll trust you. Bible and prayer. Now sinful desires are coming up, Lord. Apathy, inadequacy. I thought I dealt with that, but you know what, God? I'm going to go to my Bible and I'm going to pray to you. Church, do you hear a pattern that is happening? The response that self-discipline draws out of you is a roadmap that leads back to the cross. Every single time. It's important to define discipline, right? What it is, what it's not. It's important to know the why. Why is it so essential in your relationship with God? And my third point is, how do I practice discipline? How do I practice? Listen, if you have been sitting in your seat thinking, this is not for me, Sarah, I've tried this. Let me just say that is a lie. That's a lie from the enemy because you can practice discipline. It is in you. And I just want to declare that right now. This is the part where I love the how. It has definitely taken some time for me to understand it. But I hope in sharing this today, you can understand it today. Excuse me. What does discipline look like in my life? Like I said before, you are capable of doing this. Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You have already been equipped. God has already given this to you by calling you son and by calling you daughter. And we can also go confidently to this through God's grace. God highlights this when Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And Paul is saying, God, please take away this thorn in my side, which that sounds painful, that metaphor. He says that it's a messenger from Satan troubling him. And he asks God three times, God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. Take this away from me. And this is what God said to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:19. God, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now this is Paul talking, now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Pastor Rick Warren wrote in The Purpose-Driven Life, we may not have experienced as high spiritual highs or as low spiritual lows as Paul did, but we too are in the constant need of being aware of God's supernatural power. Our success does not depend on our natural abilities, but on God's power working in and through us. Human weakness can be a profound blessing if it results in our depending more on God and less on self. Let's acknowledge it's not easy. It's certainly not comfortable. But the how is so important, church. If we know that God's grace can carry us through our weaknesses that we have, we're one step closer. And let me just share as well that the article I mentioned before with James Clear on willpower, there's actually a part two. See, that study was so successful with measuring willpower that the University of Rochester did the same study, but with a twist. Now, they had two groups of children. One group had unreliable experiences. So what does that mean? A child had a marshmallow before them, researchers said, don't eat the marshmallow, come back. But the researcher never came back. Whereas the second group, they had reliable experiences. So again, the child was told, don't eat the marshmallow, researcher leaves. But then the researcher keeps his promise, comes back. And again, the results were so impactful with this. This is going to give you encouragement. James Clear summarizes it by saying, the children in the unreliable group had no reason to trust that the researchers would bring a second marshmallow, and thus they didn't wait very long to eat the first one. Meanwhile, the children in the second group were training their brains to see delayed gratification as a positive. Every time the researcher made a promise and delivered on it, the child's brain registered two things. One, waiting for gratification is worth it. And two, I have the capability to wait. As a result, the second group waited an average of 4 times longer than the first group. Okay, so what does that mean, Sarah, for practicing discipline? That means you don't have to be born with a trait called discipline. It's not like Spider-Man where you get bit by a spider and all of a sudden you have spidey senses. It's your environment. It's your experience. So this is my question to you. Is your environment set up for you to have discipline in your life? Is it set up so that you can have discipline to flourish in your relationship with God? James Clear continues in his book, Atomic Habits. When scientists analyze people who appear to have tremendous self-control, it turns out those individuals aren't that different from those who are struggling. Instead, disciplined people are better at structuring their lives in a way that does not require heroic willpower and self-control. Church, that should be an encouragement. Again, you have self-discipline. You have the capability to do this. And last year, once I understood the role of discipline in my relationship with God, my environment changed very, very quickly. Pastor Ethan and I, we have some rules in our house. We call them hard rules. That means we don't break them during the week. And one of them is we put our cell phones on our dresser and we get up by an alarm clock. Because what I've found is that when I'm scrolling on my phone, I would do the whole thing, fall on my face. I don't know why I had to do that 4 times to realize I'm tired, but that would happen. And then I would put it and charge it on my bedside table. But I found when my phone is across the room, I tend to fall asleep faster. And when I fall asleep faster, I get a longer period of sleep at night. And when I do that, I kind of wake up with enthusiasm to spend time with God instead of making it like this obligation I'm supposed to do. I knew that in my environment, it will affect my decision tomorrow. Another hard rule that we have in our house is we don't watch TV during the week. That's a hard one. Believe me, I used to love my 30-minute comedies decompress time. Loved it. Looked forward to it. But what happened was I'd linger on the couch. Then it's 8:30. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I got to do the dishes. Oh, I'm supposed to send that email to that parent. Huh, I started the laundry. Now I have to finish it. Blah, blah, blah. It's 11 p.m. And you know what, church? I could do that one night. I can muster up the strength and get up early the next day. But 2-3 nights in a row, oh, no, 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 no. I'm jumping, running across the room, hitting that alarm, and jumping back in my bed. I can't maintain that. That's a hard rule in our house because we know the role of discipline plays in our relationship with God. And we have put that as a priority in our household. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not monks. Like, sometimes if there's a Warriors game, we'll put it on. But see, I know the environment I need in order to be disciplined. And that doesn't affect me. It's easy to see, once you're aware, how the enemy just takes a little bit of a distraction and it can cause such disruption in your life. And as soon as you remove those things, the clarity you get from what you were distracted by. I have some other hard rules in my life. I used to work on Saturdays. Now I don't. Whoa, I have a Sabbath now. Look at that. I used to also, like I said, watch YouTube. I play to my strengths. I'm a morning person. Your girl loves the morning. I have great ideas in the morning. So I spend time with God in the morning. Why would I spend time with God at 8 p.m. when I'm tired? He deserves my best. He gave me his. So those are the hard things that determine my environment in order to make discipline flourish in my life. And church, if you add discipline just in general, you'll probably live a great life. You'll have great habits. You'll probably achieve goals. And it'll be good. But if you apply self-discipline to your relationship with God, your destiny will change. That's a shift that happens where the Holy Spirit does a spiritual transformation in you. It's not 2.0 of who you are. It's God doing a work in you so that you can step more into the purposes he has for you. I want to leave today with two main questions for you, church. What do I need to remove in my life for self-discipline? And what do I need to add in my life for self-discipline? When I really took the time to think about this, it changed everything. Now, as I mentioned before, I am a teacher, and there are calls I need to make every single day. Something happens to one of my students, I need to determine, okay, is this a tough love moment? Like, we're going to get through it, we're going to grow, or is this a, I need to acknowledge what you're feeling in order for you to move on? And for me, that becomes easier as the year goes on. And my hope and prayer in sharing this with you today is not to invoke shame or guilt with something that you don't have in your life, but that the Holy Spirit would use it as conviction, that maybe this would be your tough love moment. Then you might realize, I am wasting time. Help me, Lord, to realize where I can put my time towards you. Because let me just declare, God has done a good work in you. He has equipped you more with you probably are aware of right now. And it will take some time to unlock that. And self-discipline provides that. Amen. Now, I do want to acknowledge that there are some people in the room that are just not in the same position of life. And I understand that. If you're the sole provider of your household, that's extremely difficult. If you're a single parent, that's extremely difficult. When you are grieving a loss of a loved one, of a spouse, a friend, that's heartbreaking and difficult. You've lost a job, you have anxiety, you have depression, a chronic illness, that's difficult. And I just want to stop and acknowledge that. That can make a topic like this seem impossible. Sarah, you don't even know. You don't know what I'm going through. And I don't. But I know God does. And God sees you and calls you son. God sees you and calls you daughter. And he holds your pain with love and compassion. And my prayer for you is to try 5 minutes of what self-discipline might look like for your relationship with God. My prayer is that seeds will be planted and that you would be able to see the goodness of God in the areas of your life when you make that decision. Church, if we can close our eyes and bow our heads, I'd love to pray. Maybe this might be a hard topic for you, church, that you know, Sarah, I understand. I do realize that this is something I wrestle with. This is something that I struggle with. I want to see change in my life. I do want to see that in the area with my relationship with God. And I resonate with that with you, church. I really do. And I would love to pray for anyone in this room who is feeling like that. I would love to pray for self-discipline when it comes with your Heavenly Father. And if you would like prayer for that this morning, if you would like to see a change for that, you feel free to raise your hand. I would love to just pray for change. I would love to just have that flourish in your life so that you would be forever marked. This day would be a pivotal point. Yes, God, I just pray for those who have their hands raised, Lord, that want that in their heart, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into their household. Make them aware of things that they need to change, God, for your relationship, Jesus. Show them opportunities, God, and how to make this. Father, I just pray protection on this motivation right now, on this decision for those who would want discipline in their relationship with you, God. That it would be something unrelenting, Father. That this would mark a pivotal moment in their life. That they can look back and say, that's the day I changed. That's the day God led me to this. And I seal this all in your holy and mighty name, church. Amen. And we'll just continue to pray. Let's continue to pray together for those who might be sinning and saying, well, Sarah, you're talking as if I have a relationship with Jesus and I haven't made that decision yet. And I just want to say, you are not here by accident. You are not here by accident in the house of God. And that this experience that you are going through is from God. And that the gospel is a free gift. I remember feeling so hopeless before I accepted Christ. And the hope the message brings of his love for me. And that same message remains today. And I would love to offer that to you, church. If you're feeling that you are in your seat and this is something, yes, Sarah, that God is putting on my heart a step today to take. He's loving you. He's reaching out to you. And you're not experiencing this by accident. This could be a real step of change for you, a lasting change. Again, it's not behavior modification, but it's spiritual transformation. When you step away from your old life, you have received a new life in him by the grace of Jesus. And if you would like to pray that prayer today, on a count of three, I'm going to offer that prayer with you. One, this is not something that people are looking around. This is a holy moment between you and God. Two, he's calling you home. He loves you. Three, would anyone like that prayer today to accept Jesus in their lives? Let's pray this prayer out loud, church, in faith. Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, change me. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. I know that I'm a sinner, but I accept your love for me. I'm choosing to follow you the rest of my life. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I want to take some time to pray for our vision moment here at Bold Church. The generosity that you have shown Bold this last year and in 2024 is astronomical. And we have several ways that you can show your generosity. We have this QR code right here on the screens for reoccurring givers. We also have two giving boxes in the back above the giving table and then also right on your way out. And let's honor God with the first of everything we have because he gave us his best. Amen. Okay, let's pray one more time. Father, I just thank you for the generosity in Bold Church. I thank you, God, that you are generous with us, Lord, that you chose to rescue us, God, and we will be forever grateful, Lord, in this house. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said,
amen. Hey, thank you again for listening to today's message. If you found today's sermon encouraging, inspiring, would you consider subscribing to this podcast? That way you won't miss the next word that's coming. See you next time.